This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you lived in Boston, that's pretty much what it sounded like and what it felt like. A lot of the East Coast, oh my, you dealt with some serious snowfall. It was probably pretty to watch it fall in the beginning, and then it was probably a bummer when you realized, who is going to shovel all this nonsense? Boston even tied a snow record. Hey, hey, what a way to kick off this hour of the show. Welcome to it, everybody. Kate Delaney. So I was not part of that snow brigade, thank goodness. I have been in my life, but not like that kind of blizzard. 2 feet of snow dumped on the city. Boston, 23.6 inches of snow on Saturday. So, of course, it tied a record for one-day snowfall, right? 2 inches fell when the storm began on Friday, right? 2 inches. And then, boom, boom, bam, fast and furious Saturday. It was just nutty how much snow came down on Boston. But Boston wasn't the only place that got hit. Thousands of people were without power. Most of that was in Massachusetts. But there were other people that also in the East Coast had to deal with terrible snow that pushed them inside. The lucky part of most of this is that it wasn't a school day, right? So there, you weren't trying to deal with what was going to happen, even though most schools would probably have been canceled. And flights at airports that went into New York or Boston or Philly, of course, they were canceled. But most of them were canceled ahead of time because they knew the weather was there, that they were going to get this bomb cyclone and it was going to be nasty. New York and Philly didn't set all-time records, but they saw a lot of snowfall. They got, you know, 7 inches plus in New York Central Park and at the Philadelphia airport. So it was bad all the way around. And you saw the wind and you heard the wind there, and that's the kind of wind it sounded like. And just flooded the streets with also frigid water in some places. There was crazy video of that, of seeing winds and waves and a street underwater in Nantucket and waves crashing as the windows of a building in Plymouth. So about 120,000 homes and businesses didn't have power in mass, and lots of failures were continuing. And of course, then you play catch up and you have to get there and try to repair all that. The only thing that was good about repairing lines is you're not repairing lines. You're just restoring power because you didn't have the trees that were snapping and tearing power lines. You didn't have that. And like I already said, schools were closed, so you had very few people commuting. Yes, people work on the weekend, but nowhere near the numbers of those that normally week. So you're listening to me in Connecticut. You're listening Rhode Island and Maine and New York and New Jersey and Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. And you were bundled up if you went out in that blizzard. You were bundled up because it was really, really bad in just so many places. I mean, the best advice was what I kept saying last week. We know it's coming. It would be a shock if somehow it veered off. So just plan to stay home. Make sure you have enough grub. Just hang in and chillax and just wait till the storm passes, unless you have no choice and you have to be out. And then you had to give yourself enough time to be able to get onto the streets. But there weren't a lot of drivers that were on the streets because you have, you know, knee-high drifts and worse. So you can't drive in that nonsense. You cannot drive in it. Mm-mm-mm. And for other people, it was also cold in some places. You know, I looked to my friends and family in St. Petersburg, Florida. There was a weird cold snap there, and it's different in other places. They put on heavy coats when it's 50 degrees and 40 degrees in Tallahassee. Come on, you know you all do that. I've been there. I've been in the middle of this when that happens. So no blizzard in the Sunshine State, but the thermometer definitely dropped. It, when it gets cold and it's below 40 degrees, it's funny to see how the people, you know, react to that, where you had In West Palm Beach, 37 degrees. And in Tampa, they had a parade that, I love this parade, it's silly. Adults get to dress up like pirates and make fools of themselves, but really dig it. And you know what? It is fun. It's fun. So people do piratey kind of things. They get beads and they go on this parade route and, you know, all those things. So they did have the Gasparilla Parade because it wasn't held last year because of the coronavirus. But it was chilly weather. It was not warm weather, right? And normally it's, you know, people are used to the warm weather. And this is funny, and I saw this somewhere, and I thought it was worth throwing it out to all the people who are laughing that that's not cold weather. There was a Catholic church, St. Michael the Archangel, on Siesta Key, a very beautiful place in Florida. They canceled two scheduled masses on Sunday because it was too cold. It's too cold. And they said, listen, we're going through a renovation. We were holding the mass outdoors, so don't make fun of us. And it was just too chilly. But don't worry, if you live in Florida, you're going to get your beach weather back. It's supposed to be 80 degrees in the next couple of days. And when you look at people that have icicles on their face and they're snow blowing and they're digging out, you just got to think you cannot whine people in the Sunshine State. You cannot whine, right? You can't do that. All right, what else is going on in our world? Well, there's a lot going on. We still have the question of the Ukraine and what's going to happen there and how equipped the Russia military is compared to the Ukrainian military and what will our role ultimately be in this, because obviously we are in the middle of it, we meaning the United States, squarely on top of this. Ukraine's leader's message is, you know, there's no reason to panic. Which is interesting that there's no reason to, Zelensky thinks there's no reason to panic, ignoring what could be in this impending catastrophe. But this is what he said. He put a video message out on his website and said a couple of weeks ago, take a breath, calm down. Take a breath, calm down. Don't worry. I mean, we see lots of troops, but it's going to be okay. I mean, this is real drama. There could be devastating consequences for the Ukraine and Europe and the West and what happens with the relationship with Russia. I mean, Russian President Vladimir Putin, I'll say it again for the probably 12th time, has 100,000 troops and military equipment on the Ukrainian border. And this is what the U.S. and the Brits are saying. It looks like they're prepping for an invasion of the country. Why are they doing that? It's not a fluffy military exercise, even if they say that. So the Ukraine is in a really big predicament at this point as to which way they're going to end up in all of this. And how do you pull out of this? And I don't think you want a full-scale Russian attack. And then we're invested in it because there's troops ready to roll. We've already sent equipment. We've already ponied up in significant ways. And our president is saying if the Russians continue to do what they're doing, they're going to suffer severe consequences. But what are those consequences really going to be? And I think the Biden administration is a little bit furious with Zelensky and some of his popular remarks. But then they're furious with Biden as they're still trying to get over his remark about minor incursions, even though the next day he took it back. So there you are. This is where we are right now at this point in our history. It's called sensitive. Could go either way. All right, coming up next, we're going to fling to the other side with an interesting interview about dogs.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
I was walking along, minding my business, went out of an orange-colored sky.
I'm taking you on a trip to Scotland this time around for a conversation with I-J Letters. That's a great pen name. And, of course, everybody knows what is my favorite thing to talk about, dogs. My own dog, Guinness, who's half Irish setter and half golden retriever. And just a bundle of love. And kids love dogs. And all kinds of people love dogs. So anything with dogs in it, to me, is a very, very good thing. And she has created this interesting series about the dog who had a party, the dog who couldn't make up his mind, which is the first one, and then the final one will be the dog who became a magician. Can you imagine? So, IJ, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me, Kate. I'm very, very excited.
Let's talk about what made you decide you were going to dive into children's books. How'd you come up with this idea?
I think it's because when I was a very, very young girl, I always wrote, and in my life, my family and myself have always had books. Sorry, I beg your pardon, have pets. And we've had little dogs, always small pets, little dogs, cats. I've got a cat right now whose name is Rebel, and she's black, and with a very fluffy tummy, and the illustrator has the same. And the dog is actually a Cavapoo because my best friend has a Cavapoo. And the illustrator, Ian Ward, has a Cavapoo. And I thought that must be serendipity.
So that's perfect. So let's talk about the first book you wrote before we get into The Dog Who Had a Party, which I love all the titles, but The Dog Who Couldn't Make Up His Mind. So What's the story about? Obviously not making up his mind, but tell us more about it.
The wee dog, it was a very, very hot sunny, it always is in dog's garden, very hot and sunny and warm. He likes sunbathing and he likes, you know, being surrounded by flowers and he knows his friend will visit. So this day, dog was sitting thinking, what am I going to do? So because it was so warm, he fell asleep and started dreaming. And then he woke up and the bumblebee woke him up and he said, dog, if you don't hurry up, you won't do anything. I thought you wanted to visit your great aunt in the country. I thought you wanted to go on a boat and do a fishing trip. I thought you wanted to do whatever else you want to do, and you're doing nothing, dog. And so dog realizes that he's kind of wasting his day, and then Beagle arrives, who's his best friend, and he said, dog, you're not doing anything today, when I know. So they just sat in the garden and they had cool drinks, and then Beagle said to dog, do you know something? I'm happy we did not do anything because I'm doing my favourite thing. I'm sitting with my best friend in your garden watching the sunset. And basically that is what the book is about them having lots of lovely dreams, but ultimately wanting to be with people they love and they trust.
Nice, I love that. And we move on to the dog who had a party. Tell us about the dog who had a party.
The dog who had a party is basically, dog wakes up and he's got a very warm and fuzzy feeling in his tummy, and then he understands that it's actually the 1st of May, it's his birthday. Beagle comes round with a present, then Cat comes round with a gift, and then Hedgehog rolls themselves in petals and gives them to dog. And it's very lovely. And Kate, the last person that, sorry, character that enters is Pigeon. And I think Pigeon is very important because Pigeons helped us win the war because they deliver things, and that's what this pigeon does. It delivers all the invitation to all dogs' friends, and they all come together and have a lovely time.
Oh, boy, that sounds like a party I'd like to go to, I'll tell you.
Me too.
Yeah, have that pigeon come and deliver an invitation to me. And I just am envisioning, I mean, of course adults can read this and read this to kids, and it's just a great, you know, just the two first books that you talked about would just be great gifts. And they have stories in them. They have, I think, a moral in them. So the dog who had a party, what's the moral of that, do you think? What do you hope that kids take away from hearing that story or reading that story?
Well, do you know something? I think all my books are so far and will be in the future the same. It's all about friendship. It's all about not being judgmental, that although we're all different, we're actually the same. And it's about being happy and being kind to one another. And most of all, having trust and love. And I think that animals have all these things. I think animals, because they only are bad to each other, really, for survival. And I think that is really what the book's ethos is about.
Yeah, that's a wonderful message, being kind to each other and that everybody's different, but yet we can all come together. And I think that message is clear, even with the party and talking about the different animals that come to the party and how they bring a present and they want to be there. And then you've got another one that's going to come out, the dog who became a magician. What inspired that?
Well, it's because I think dogs are very clever. And I think this dog, he's actually quite anxious and a wee bit nervous, Kate. And it's Beagle, who's his best friend, that says, don't be silly. You know you can do this. And he says, well, I've been doing my homework. And he says, right, what are we doing? We're doing cups and balls. Oh, and Cats comes along. And Cats can be a wee bit naughty and a wee bit sleek it, if you understand what I mean. And so Cat is thinking, It's under cup four, and it's cup three, it's not, blah, blah. So she just thinks the dogs are stupid. But really, that the magician book was because I personally love magic, and I like, because of lockdown, it's been difficult to go to the theatre or going to parties or doing anything, and I want life to be the way it was before lockdown.
Oh, boy, I so agree. How fun has this been for you to write this whole series?
I have loved every minute of it. And you know something, Kate? If I had not found Ian Ward to illustrate, it wouldn't have been the same, because his illustrations are absolutely perfect for my books. And I remember the very first book, the Couldn't Make Up His Mind book, I phoned him up and I said, Ian, I don't have a fox in my book. And he went, oh, what's that? What's that animal? I said, it's Beagle, it's his best friend. And he said, oh, and within 1 hour, he'd a full colour illustration of Beagle. So you meet someone that is very, very accurate and quick and helpful and just wanting to do work with you. And it was fantastic. And then I got a publisher, and basically it was the same thing. I looked up children's book publishers. The first one that came up was Grosvenor House. And again, I sent them an illustration and a piece of text. And within an hour, they said, "We want to do it." So in that respect, I guess I've been a little bit lucky, but I have found it a very wonderful experience.
Yeah, wow. Perfect place to end this. I-J Letters, that's where you can find the books, of course, on Amazon. The Dog Who Couldn't Make Up His Mind, The Dog Who Had a Party, all this is coming out. The Dog Who Became a Magician, all these wonderful, wonderful books, and the illustrations are fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
All right, so it's interesting, thinking of the popularity of dogs. I was looking this up, and the 20 most popular dog breeds of 2022, it seems like the list is always the same. Labradors, right? Labrador Retriever. French Bulldog. I just saw a French Bulldog at the dog park the other day. Cute little tiny French Bulldog. German Shepherd Dogs. I always see a ton of those. Golden Retrievers. A bulldog, a poodle, a beagle, a Rottweiler, and of course, I have a golden retriever slash Irish setter mix, which would, I think, qualifies more for golden retriever, so he would be on that popular breed, except for that he's smaller than some of the golden retrievers. But isn't that interesting? It's always the lab, right? Always, 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 always the lab. It seems like every year I see the same thing. What's the most popular dog in the USA? And you do see a lot of labs. I mean, I guess they're just big, funny dogs that are lovable, and especially for kids, etc. But they're not the smartest dog, right? According to research, which means a pet company, border collies, they're a workaholic breed. And they're the premier sheep herder, prized for intelligence, extraordinary instinct, and working ability, right? Nicest dog in the world, golden retriever, labs, Newfoundland, easy for me to say, Newfoundland makes the list. Pugs make the list. Cavalier King Charles Spaniels make the list. I know a lot of people that have those dogs. Here's the thing. What's the easiest one to train? What's the easiest one to train? Labs are on the list. German Shepherds are on the list. The Border Collie is on the list. The Poodle is on the list. Right? I see no Golden Retrievers, and that makes total sense to me. Because my Guinness has a mind of his own, that's for sure. Coming up, odds and ends.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for you.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Jeremy Scott.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are nearing agreement on sanctions against Russia over its massing of troops near the border with Ukraine and feared invasion. The U.S. promising to put Moscow on the defensive at the U.N. Security Council. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield on ABC's This Week saying our voices are unified in calling for the Russians to explain themselves.
Part of the reason we're calling for this meeting on Monday is one more opportunity to find a diplomatic way out.
Sunday, another day of major flight delays after the nation's northeast states were walloped by a massive winter storm. FlightAware reporting 1,500 flights canceled in and out of the U.S. and more than 2,300 delays. Tens of thousands without power. You're listening to USA Radio News. President Biden is calling for the release of U.S. Navy veteran Mark Frericks, who was taken hostage in Afghanistan nearly 2 years ago, Monday marking the second anniversary of the kidnapping. In a statement, the president saying hostage taking is an act of cruelty and cowardice. A civil engineer and contractor from Illinois was kidnapped in January of 2020 from the capital of Kabul and is believed to be in the custody of the Taliban-linked Aquani network. North Korea continuing its weapons tests, firing what analysts say is the most powerful missile the regime has tested in years. Pyongyang's seventh launch of the month, traveling 500 miles and landing in the ocean. It's the Rams and the Bengals in the Super Bowl. The Bengals get a field goal in overtime at Kansas City to win 27-24. And the Rams holding off the 49ers with a late field goal, 20-17. This is USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Topping odds and ends, boy, it is about the snow. The blizzard of 2022. Boston tied a snow record. Sadly, thousands of people are without power, and hey, Nantucket is underwater. Wow, I have friends that used to live in Nantucket, and they are glad they're not living there now. Saturday's blizzard, a record time one, like I said, for Boston, dumped 2 feet of snow in the city. Think about this for a second. Wrap your mind around 23.6 inches of snow. Wow, that's a one-day snowfall, people. One day. How much do you have to shovel to keep up with that amount of snow? Basically run in for a cup of hot chocolate or coffee. I mean, awful, right? Snow is fun when you can see it from a distance or it's light. Snow where it's a blizzard, not fun. Other places, Philly and New York, saw plenty of wind and snow, but really Boston was the place that got snookered with the stuff. And that's why I started with Boston. I mean, winds were up to 83 miles an hour in Cape Cod, which is, of course, southwest of Boston, the town even of Sharon, Massachusetts. They say 30 inches of snow. 30 inches of snow. That is crazy. Imagine the drifts. And again, what that's like, I'm still, again, wrapping my head around this. Okay, flights at airports with serving people in New York, Boston, Philly, canceled, of course, Saturday. 4,500 flights were canceled across the U.S., although airports in the Northeast didn't report evidence of mass strandings because the storm was anticipated. So airlines called off flights in advance. They knew that Amtrak canceled all of its high-speed Acela trains on that Boston to Washington route and canceled or limited other services. This, again, is not a surprise because they knew what was coming. Sadly, it's the power thing that can be also so awful. 120,000 homes and businesses, new power. Once again, where am I going to go? Massachusetts. The saving grace dry snow, so that doesn't mean trees necessarily won't snap in half. It won't tear power lines. That's good. Schools were closed, and there were fewer people commuting because it was over the weekend. So 10 states were at one point under a blizzard warning. Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey. A lot of people listening to me in those areas. It's so nasty, you know, really nasty stuff for a lot of people. It was the weekend, yay. It wasn't a school day for anybody, so they weren't trying to go to work. But I shouldn't say that because lots of people are people who work on the weekend, but the majority of people, let's say, did not have to do that. Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness. This was crazy. I saw some video of it. I say crazy because it was really a lot of people. Thousands of people protested COVID mandates and the restrictions in Ottawa. And how do they do that? Marching, you know, I mean, there were thousands. They were on the Capitol steps on Saturday to protest vaccine mandates, masks, lockdowns, all of that. Some people parked on the grounds of the National War Memorial and danced on the tomb of the unknown soldier. Others had signs and flags and all kinds of stuff. And protesters compared vaccine mandates to fascism. There were trucks galore that were part of the protest, too. This was also super big. Because the trucker vax rule has certainly brought about a polarizing situation in Canada. So there was a convoy of truckers and others that were part of that whole thing in Ottawa. I mean, it really was thousands of protesters. This was not a small protest. They piled into that downtown. And on the grounds that I described of Canada's Parliament building, there was a long, 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 long line of big rigs, pickup trucks, RVs, you name the kind of thing on four wheels, and it trickled through the streets. They were banging on their horns. It brought everything to a standstill. And the initial movement for the protest was a new rule that required truckers to show proof of vaccination when entering Canada, which Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government implemented back on January 15th, so a couple of weeks ago. Until then, truckers had been allowed to cross the U.S. Canada border with fewer restrictions. The U.S. imposed a similar mandate on January 22nd, so that goes both ways. And this was a full-fledged protest, not some, you know, scaled-back effort. Lots and lots and lots and lots of people absolutely showed up for this. They showed up. They were there. No question about it. All right. It's interesting. We look at some of the comings and goings that we've seen over the last couple of weeks when it comes to COVID and our own restrictions, mandates, whatever, and the fact that you could get the test sent to your house, which you still can do, covidtest.gov, go there. And there's also now the Centers for COVID Control that they're suspending their operations. It's a nationwide chain with hundreds of coronavirus testing sites. I've actually seen one where they encourage site operators to break off from the Center for COVID Control Management, and the business has suspended operations indefinitely, and they're questioning two labs in the Chicago area. So the company is under investigation by the FBI. That's why you might have seen these centers that I'm talking about in your neighborhoods. They had about, I guess, 300 different sites, rather, were affiliated with these collection sites. So all these other vendors, etc. So the Center for COVID Control and its primary lab, Doctor's Clinic Lab, are under investigation by state and federal officials. The company and lab provide, they say, inaccurate and deceptive test results. They fraudulently reported negative results and represented them to the federal government. That people with private or public insurance were uninsured. So it's crazy, cockamamie scam. Something nefarious, backwards happened here, obviously. Between the three labs, the federal government has shelled out more than $500 million in reimbursements for coronavirus testing and treatment through the COVID-19 uninsured program. So this is the problem. And this is a big problem. We'll see ultimately what they come up with, because I think there's going to be more details with that investigation. But if you were looking for those sites, forget about it, because those sites aren't
there. This was sad news, although 81, a life well lived, it seems. Howard Hessman, Dr. Johnny Fever, WKRP in Cincinnati, dead at the age of 81. He actually, besides that sitcom, he was on several others. He got two Emmy nominations as Best Supporting Actor for his role on that show. That went from 78 to 82. But he also played architect Sam Royer, Ann Romano's second husband, and Barbara's father-in-law on One Day at a Time. Then he was a star and head of the class as a history and social studies teacher, Charlie Moore, in the 80s. He had obviously a big role there. And he died, his agent said that he died of complications of colon surgery, and his agent said he was a groundbreaking talent, which he was. I think he was very good at what he did. And also said he had this incredible generosity and how he admired generations of actors and tried to help others. So sad news, because he was really funny. If you go back and look at some of that WKRP in Cincinnati, some of the highlights from that, I mean, it's laugh out loud funny. And he did various other gigs. Like, he had a funny stint when he did Saturday Night Live, and he appeared on lots of different shows too. I mean, he was incredibly talented. And I didn't realize this, but he was born in Lebanon, Oregon, for all you people listening in Oregon. And he was somebody who, yes, came to acting, but he also, in his earlier years, did experiments with pharmaceuticals in recreational chemistry, and that's how he put it. He was jailed in San Francisco for selling marijuana in 1963, but then he bounced on to play all those different roles, and really sad to hear about the passing of Howard Hessman at 81 years old. Wow. All right, you know, it's interesting to see what's happening with this whole Spotify thing, and a couple of you have sent me emails about that. You know, now Joni Mitchell is part of this crew, and Nils Lofgren is also part of that too. So the hashtag is by Spotify team. Mitchell, who just got a Kennedy Center's honor, said on her website that she stands with fellow Canadian-born artist Neil Young in wanting her music removed from that service. Lofgren, who played on Young's latest release, Barn, is a member of Crazy Horse, and is also a member of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. And he posted something over the weekend on Neil Young's archives website announcing that we've gotten the last 27 years of my music off Spotify. So this has really exploded into something just a little more interesting and bigger. It's like craziness of this, you know, the Joe Rogan podcast, because Joe Rogan, if you're Spotify, look, I said this on a previous show, they paid him $100 million because he has lots of people that listen to him. And the Joe Rogan Experience podcast has a lot of people that pay attention, that listen, etc. And the reason they say they're taking the music away, and that was the big Neil Young thing, is Spotify is spreading fake information about vaccines, potentially causing death to those who believe disinformation being spread by them. That was what the take was from Neil Young. And here's the thing, Spotify isn't really saying much, but, you know, listen, they have lots of different controversial hosts. And in 2020, they got the podcast library in a deal worth more than $100 million. That's what happened, you know, for the whole Rogan thing. So whatever he says, it goes back to that argument of the personalities, what's on basically a media platform, but people protesting like Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and whoever else. Now, if you had even bigger, huge artists of the time pulling out, that would be something to see. And what would Spotify do? And I say they would still say the same. Why would they not back him up? Anyway, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
You're unbelievable.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I can't tell you how excited I am to have Christine Hassing on with us. She's written a book called Hope Has a Cold Nose. And wait till you hear the story behind this book and the book itself. Christine, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, it's my honor. Thank you.
Tell me what led you to write this book. Why did you write the book in the first place?
So I was in class with a veteran and a service dog. And we were given an assignment to create something we hadn't done before. And writing life stories was not new to me. I had been volunteering at a local hospice writing life stories for a couple of years. And just prior to meeting the veteran, I had actually been writing letters for a dear friend who was dying of cancer. And we were writing letters for her to leave to her two sons. And so anyway, I asked the veteran if I could write his life story. And what made that new for me is I had not written a life story for somebody who was not knowingly dying. And this veteran very graciously said yes. And so I wrote his story. And in his telling the story, he shared with me a statistic I did not know at the time, that 22 veterans commit suicide a day. And it just absolutely broke my heart to think that there was 22 souls that reached a point where they lost their sense of hope. And so I felt called, inspired, whatever might be the word, to write a book and write life stories of hope and healing and dignity found with the unconditional acceptance and love of a service dog.
So in the book, you really dive into this, talking about matching humans with the right dog, the right service dog, and you tell these stories. Tell us more about the book.
Yeah, so there's 23 life stories. They all have, you know, the common theme of PTSD, but I like to reframe it as pain, trauma, sorrow, or despair, because then I think that takes away any chance of a stereotype when we hear the acronym PTSD. And pain, trauma, sorrow, despair is something we all know at least one aspect of at least once in our lives. And the other theme is the unconditional listening and the unconditional acceptance, because a dog has no judgment. They can't speak back. They can listen and love. And each of the stories, they have that common theme, but each of them are different. One, because they're each individual life story. But my approach with each person was simply to listen. And so some people wanted to talk about their deployment. Others wanted to talk about how their life had changed once they got their service dog. And others wanted to share things from their childhood as well. So each story is unique with a common theme.
Tell us one of the stories. I mean, it's probably hard to pick out your favorite, but tell us one of the stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much time do we have for all 23? I will share. There's one story that comes to mind immediately. It was a gentleman who had been a veteran during the Vietnam War. And when he was serving in Vietnam, he had a canine dog that also served with him, who was the dog to sniff out harm. And he returned to the United States and unfortunately was not able to bring that dog back with him. And that broke his heart and left him very sad, feeling very guilty, along with the traumas of his experiences during that time. So he lived with anxiety, nightmares, you know, a lot of the things that we hear when we hear PTSD. And about 30 years later, he got involved in his community with building a replica of the Vietnam Wall that they could travel to different events, different engagements, and share that wall. So he was on a tour with this wall, and he happened to cross paths with Northwest Battle Buddies in Oregon, or Washington, I should say, Washington State. And he happened to know one of the people that works in that organization, who came up and showed him a picture of a puppy and was asking his advice on how to train this dog, because this person knew this veteran sharing the story had experiences with training dogs from his time in the service. So this gentleman shared, and a few months later, their paths crossed again. And again, he was shown a picture of this dog and the progress, hearing how he was doing. And fast forward about another year, so I'd say about 2 years, because that's usually what it takes to train a dog, he went to a fundraising event with Northwest Battle Buddies, and he was a speaker, which was really hard for him because he, again, with his anxiousness, wasn't comfortable, but still did that. And at the end of his speech, the founder of Northwest Battle Buddies came up to him and pointed to the back of the room. And the dog that he had been seeing pictures of was given to him that night to be his service dog. And he started training and found a lot of healing from the dog that he couldn't bring to the United States with him, found a lot of healing on his journey with PTSD, and found a deeper bond with his children because they gained an understanding of the story he had been able to talk about until he shared it for the book.
Wow, what a beautiful story. And there's so many other stories, too, that just they'll just make you smile and get you teary-eyed and everything else. How did you find these stories?
It was, I would say, word of mouth, reaching out. You know, so the first veteran connected me with three additional individuals. I would reach out to organizations, and there would be one person who would want to graciously share their story. They would maybe know somebody or not, and it just became kind of through a two-year journey. One of the things, I had a goal. I wanted at least 22 stories because of the symbolism of 22 lives a day. And just before our world pandemic hit, I gained the last five stories of my goal to complete the book. And I always felt like that was a sign that the book needed to be out there not only for the 22 lives a day, but for what everybody was suddenly starting to understand about isolation, anxiousness, and some of those things that I think a lot of the people in the world are starting to experience over the last couple of years.
Yeah, wow. Good for you. What do you hope people take away from reading Hope Has a Cold Nose, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, I would like to inspire an awareness of a journey with PTSD, foster a compassion for that journey, but also, raise awareness about the holistic healing effect of dogs, service dogs, therapy dogs, emotional support dogs. But in all of those ways, there's a lot of healing power in that. And also to foster a common, more of a, take away the judgment, I guess that's what I'm trying to say, Kate, is take away the judgment that we sometimes have when we hear certain acronyms, or we don't know what to say because we don't know how to handle somebody's pain from their trauma or those things. And foster unconditional listening. I think that was one of the things that so many of the veterans said, as they said, my dog just listens. I can tell them anything. And they said, even if I have someone close to me who really tries to listen and understand, for the veteran, they're still judging themselves. And so they're still expecting the person they're talking to judge them. Where a dog just looks at them with those loving eyes and holds absolutely no judgment. So I would also like to foster us unconditionally listening. We don't have to accept the story, but I think if we listen, we start the healing process for people too.
Oh, so well said. Again, the name of the book is Hope Has a Cold Nose. Christine Hassing, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, thank you. Definitely my privilege.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.